Night. Anybody? See one hand? A few hands? This evening, we're going to look at the plague of locusts and the plague of darkness. Plague number 8 and plague number 9. And as I have been studying these plagues, I'm amazed at the mercy and the patience of our God. What is it going to take for Pharaoh to humble himself? We were just talking in the room there with the other pastors, and I was saying I can't imagine being Moses and Aaron and what they experienced, what they saw. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be reading Exodus 10. I'm going to break it up. We're going to read Exodus 10, 1 to 21st, and then we're going to go through that plague, and then I'll read Exodus 10, 21 to 29 after that. Exodus chapter 10, the eighth plague of locusts. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him, that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and thy son's son what things I have wrought in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know how that I am the Lord. And Moses and Aaron came in unto Pharaoh and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, How long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. Else if thou refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow will I bring the locusts into thy coasts or territory. And they shall cover the face of the earth, that one cannot be able to see the earth, and they shall eat the residue of that which is escaped, which remaineth unto you from the hail, and shall eat every tree which groweth for you out of the field. And they shall fill thy houses, and the houses of all thy servants, and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither thy fathers nor thy father's fathers have seen since the day that they were upon the earth and unto this day. And he turned himself and went out from Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's servants said unto him, How long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed? And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh. And he said unto them, Go, serve ye the Lord your God. But who are they that shall go? And Moses said, We will go with our young, with our old, with our sons, with our daughters, with our flocks, with our herds we will go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, Let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones. Look to it, for evil is before you. Not so, go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land, even all that the hail hath left. And Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day and night, and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. And the locusts went up over all the land of Egypt, and rested in all the coasts of Egypt. Very grievous were they before them. There were no such locusts as they, neither after them shall be such. For they covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened. And they did eat every herb of the land, and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. And there remained not any green thing in the trees or in the herbs of the field through all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste, and he said, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now therefore forgive, I pray thee, my sin only this once, and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only. And he went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord turned a mighty strong west wind which took away the locusts and cast them into the Red Sea. And there remained not one locust in all the coasts of Egypt. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go. May God bless the reading of his word. So here again, we start this In verse 1, God says to Moses, "Go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his hearts and his servants." You ever wonder what Moses was thinking? "Go into Pharaoh, I have hardened his heart and his servants." Whether God hardened his heart or he hardened his own heart, as it says in some verses, nonetheless, God gave him over to his, or to the sinful passions of his heart. And Moses is obedient to God's command. And we see in verse 2, God clearly shows his purpose to display his power to Israel, and so that they could tell their children and grandchildren about what God has done, so that generation after generation could hear of God's great power. The Lord has done this amazing thing, and so that you may know that he is Lord. Moses and Aaron, they go unto Pharaoh and say exactly what the Lord commanded. "Thus saith the Lord God of Hebrews, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go that they may serve me." Moses obeys God's commands and tells him that locusts are going to come into your territory tomorrow. And here we see that Pharaoh had a very clear warning. Tomorrow the locusts are going to come. And this is what they're going to do. They will cover the face of the earth so that no one can see the earth, as it says. I don't know, if you try and picture the locust coming, that no one can see the earth. Can you imagine how disgusting that would be? Like, where would a guy run? And it says, they will eat all the residue from what the previous plague of hail, as Pastor Lloyd touched on. They will eat all the residue, and it says that these locusts, they're going to fill their houses and all their servants' houses and houses of all the Egyptians. It will be so bad that your fathers nor your fathers' fathers have seen since the day that they were on the earth to this very day. And after having said this, they turned and they walked out from Pharaoh. And you know what Pharaoh's servants say? "How long are you going to let this man be a snare to us? Let the men go that they may go and serve the Lord their God." Verse 7. Moses and Aaron were brought again to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh asks, "Who is going to go and serve the Lord?" And Moses says, "We will go with our families and our herds, for we must hold a feast to the Lord." And Pharaoh knew that if he would only let the men go, then he would be guaranteed their slave labor, because they would return to their spouses and families. Verse 10, it says, "And he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones, look to it, for evil is before you." Pharaoh lets only the men go and worship, and drives Moses and Aaron from his presence. And then we see in verse 12 exactly what God says. Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. I don't know exactly how big these locusts were. Some say the locusts or the grasshoppers. And there were different kinds, different sizes. But when they came, they covered the earth. And they ate everything, every herb of the land, everything that the hail left. Just, can you imagine? The locusts went up over all the land of Egypt, rested in all the coasts of Egypt. Very grievous were they. Before them, there were no such locusts as they, neither after them shall be such. They covered the face of the whole earth so that the land was darkened. And they ate everything. They ate every herb of the land, fruit of the trees which the hail had left. And it says here that there remained not a single green thing in the trees or in the herbs of the field through all the land of Egypt. Can you imagine that? Picture that. The Egyptians, as you're probably aware, I believe in the previous study, was mentioned about the Egyptian gods that these Egyptians worshipped. But the Egyptian god known as Set was one who protects the crops. And our great God clearly brought that image down and proved the Egyptian god is nothing. I was reminded of Psalm 96, verse 5. It says that all the gods of the nations are idols. And then it goes on to say, but the Lord made the heavens. All the gods of the nations are idols. They're nothing. Our God made the heavens. As I was preparing this, I was curious to see what previous plague of locusts that this earth has encountered. And I searched it up, and what came up is the locust plague of 1874, or they called it the grasshopper plague. And I'll just read a few points from that just to give you an idea. It says here that it occurred when the hordes of Rocky Mountain locusts invaded the Great Plains in the United States and Canada. And it says that these locust hordes covered about 2 million square miles and caused millions of dollars worth of damage. And it is reported that these swarms of locusts, that they would cover up the sun up to 6 hours, is what it was written. That there would be such swarms of locusts that the sun would be darkened for 6 hours. And it also wrote that the locusts were able to breed quickly due to it being hot and dry during the spring and summer. And it also says that those locusts, or the swarms of locusts, they would pile up over a foot high, eating crops and trees, leaves, grass, and they said even the wool off sheep. Incredible. It even said there that trains had trouble moving due to the slippery, gooey mess of all the dead locusts. The tracks were slick with grasshopper guts. And it caused the trains to lose traction. It's incredible. Disgusting is what that really is. If we go on here in the text here, verse 16 to 20, Pharaoh calls for Moses and Aaron in haste. Well, I can imagine. And Pharaoh says that he sinned against the Lord your God and you. And he says to forgive me this once. I think it's important to note here the steps of repentance. You know, you can admit that you're a sinner, or you can admit that you have sinned every single day. You can say that I have sinned. But step one is confession. But step number two, which Pharaoh didn't do, is turning from your sin. Pharaoh never turned from his sin. And that's very important, a very important lesson. I was thinking of Proverbs 28:13. It says there that he that covers his sin shall not prosper. But whoso, and listen to this, how it says, but whoso confesses and forsakes shall have mercy. Whoso confesses and forsakes shall have mercy. And confess means you agree with God that you have sinned, right? Confess and forsake shall have mercy. Happy is the man that feareth always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Pharaoh admitted that he had sinned, but he didn't turn from it. And it is important when we confess our sin that we repent, we turn from it, right? It's doing a 180, it's going the opposite way. In verse 17, and Pharaoh, he says here, now therefore forgive, I pray thee, my sin only this once, and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only. And he went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord turned a mighty strong west wind, which took away the locusts and cast them into the Red Sea, and there remained not one locust in all the coasts of Egypt. Can you imagine just a few verses earlier, it said that the earth being completely covered, to not one locust remained. What a sight to see. From the earth being covered to not one remaining. The Lord cast them into the Red Sea. And we go further. And it says in verse 20, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go. The hardening of Pharaoh's heart. And like I said earlier, some verses will say God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Some verses say Pharaoh hardened his heart. Well, whether it's God or Pharaoh, God still gives them over to his sinful desires. A few verses out of Romans chapter 9. To refresh our memory, Romans chapter 9, verses 15 to 17. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. And God shares his purpose here. The scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and my name might be declared throughout all the earth. God raised up Pharaoh so that God's name would be declared through all the earth. You know, as I was preparing this, thinking about all the plagues that we've talked about over the last number of weeks, what they've done to Egypt, to the people. And I think about God and his mercy, and that he is long-suffering, that he is patient, not willing that any should perish. I was thinking that, first of all, Pharaoh, but also all people, can be spared from a lot of misery by not hardening your heart. Now, before I go, move on to the next plague, I was curious if there's another plague that is going to come, or some future event that will take place. If you turn with me to Revelation chapter 9, in the tribulation period, and I would encourage you to read through a number of these chapters and just see what's going to come on the earth, God's judgment for those who reject him. Revelation 9. And here we'll see another plague, or of locusts. Actually, it's judgment. Romans 9, verse 1, it says, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power." And notice what it says here in verse 4. It says, "And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. And one woe is past, and behold, there come two more woes hereafter." And here we see another judgment being poured out. And these locusts came to torture, to torment men for 5 months, it says. And also, if you notice here in this passage, it says that men will seek death and not find it. That would be an easy thing to do for a man just to end his life. But that will not be the case. But I found it kind of interesting, just another locust, or swarm of locusts in the tribulation period that's going to be unleashed on mankind. And if you have time, I encourage you to keep reading, and you will find many of these judgments being poured out. And numerous times it says that the people blasphemed God and repented not of their deeds. Judgment after judgment is being poured out, and yet it says that people will blaspheme God and not turn and repent. And you wonder, how hard can a man's heart be? If you turn back with me to Exodus, we're going to touch on the plague of darkness, the ninth plague in Exodus chapter 10, verses 21 to 29. Exodus 10, 21 to 29. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. And Pharaoh called unto Moses, and he said, Go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. And Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not a hoof be left behind, for thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God, and we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. And Pharaoh said unto him, get thee from me, take heed to thyself, see my face no more, for in that day thou seest my face, thou shalt die. And Moses said, thou hast spoken well, I will see thy face again no more. And here again we see the Lord spoke, and it happened. We see the power of God. I find it interesting here in this ninth plague of darkness. It says that the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward the heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. Has anyone ever experienced, like, complete darkness? Like, I don't mean just power going out and down in the mind. Anybody else? In the caves. I had an experience as well, or we did, our family, in Carlsbad Caverns in New Mexico. And they had their trails where you would walk on, and they said they were going to turn out the lights. And they did. And it was dark. Darkness that it would strain the eyes. I don't know what I can compare it to, but it says that a darkness that may be felt. You could put your hand like this, you see nothing. And I thought to myself, I was carrying our child then, our oldest boy, I believe. And I thought to myself, like, if it's going to be off for a while, because if it's going to be off for a while, I'll be crawling, because it was so dark and you can see nothing. It reminded me of this. It says here, a darkness which may be felt. I don't know what they have experienced. But it says, thick darkness in the land of Egypt for 3 days. And then, and notice what it says, that nobody rose from his place for 3 days. I can imagine, that was darkness. Nobody could see each other, nobody rose from his place for 3 days. And then, it also says that all the children of Israel had light. God again showed his power over the Egyptian god, their Egyptian god of Re or Ra, who was thought to be the sun god. God again showed his almighty power. And we see again in verse 24 that Pharaoh again tries to compromise. He says to them, you take your little ones with you, but leave your flocks and your herds. And Moses says, no way, we must offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. As he says, no hoof should be left behind. And the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart again. And he would not let them go. And then verse 28, Pharaoh said unto him, get thee from me, take heed to thyself, and see my face no more, for in that day that thou seest my face, thou shalt die. Pharaoh orders Moses out and to never come back. Now, I was thinking what Moses' reaction was. Probably overjoyed at that statement. He says, you have spoken well. Probably said, I don't want to see you again. But this concludes the eighth and the ninth plagues. And I believe the tenth one is unique, which we'll study next week. But I want to make a few points about these plagues. God sent these plagues on Pharaoh and Egypt for a number of reasons. To answer Pharaoh's question, Pharaoh asks in Exodus 5:2, it says, and Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And you will see that God will answer Pharaoh. God showed himself greater than any of the Egyptian gods. And really, they're idols, right? Scripture says, there is only one God Almighty. The others are only idols. And also, the purpose is for God to show his power through Moses. And I believe we covered that. Exodus 9, verse 16. And in very deed, for this cause have I raise thee up for to show in thee my power, that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. That was another reason, that God's power may be shown throughout all the earth. And also, as we covered today, to give a testimony to the children of Israel for future generations. Exodus 10:2. that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and thy son's son what things I have wrought in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know that I am the Lord." We see another purpose. Another reason for these plagues on Pharaoh and Egypt is to judge the false gods of Egypt. Exodus 12, verse 12. "I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." Against all the gods of Egypt. Another reason to warn the nations. More than 400 years later, the Philistines remembered the Lord God of Israel as one who plagued the Egyptians. In 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 8. First Samuel 4:8 says, "Woe unto us! Who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness." Also, another purpose of these plagues on Pharaoh and Egypt, you can find that in Exodus 15, verse 11. Exodus 15, 11 says, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" We see a testimony of the greatness of God to Israel. As I conclude this ninth plague, I was wondering if there was another plague of darkness that was yet to come, or that is yet to come. I want to turn our attention to Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16, verse 10. And here again we see another judgment in the tribulation period. A fifth vial or bowl, and it says in Revelation 16, 10, "And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed God," or the God of heaven, "because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds." And also in Revelation chapter 8, it also talks about where a third of everything was darkened. Revelation chapter 8, verse 12, the fourth trumpet. "And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld, and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." You know, when I read of the plagues, I think they are minor compared to these tribulation judgments that are yet to take place. How awful they will be. Any questions or comments on these plagues? Plague of locusts, the plague of darkness. Well, I believe it says here all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings, and the Egyptians didn't, so they can't have, right? They can't have been lit. And God is not bound by anything, right? I mean, if it says here, if the Israelites had light in their dwellings and the Egyptians didn't, it's only God that can. Yep. Any other comments or something you'd like to add? Questions? Like dark deeds.
Yeah, the spiritual aspect is total darkness. There's no light in it. So could the children of Israel have the spiritual light, whereas the rest of the kingdom is all darkness?
Good point. Other questions or comments? after concluding with this, I thought of, there's a verse that says, that talks about the whole duty of man, and some of you probably know what that verse is, right? What is the whole duty of man? Anybody finish the sentence? Let us hear the whole conclusion. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That is our duty, to fear God and keep his commandments. Any other questions or comments? And then we're going to spend some time in prayer. Any prayer requests or praise items? Anybody?
Yes, my daughter Rachel, she's in the hospital right now. She's got, 2 weeks ago she started giving pain in her stomach and it was very severe. They finally figured out it was the lymph nodes were in her stomach were inflamed or something. So it was just a waiting time. Now it was getting worse again. And they can't bring that down with antibiotics, so they've got to do some kind of a surgery. So if I can get cured for that, I'm not sure when that's going to
happen. Okay, definitely. Thank you. Anybody else? Prayer requests or praise items?
Marlon and Helena Wall.
Yes, Marlon and Helena Wall. Anybody else?
Riley would like to say a prayer request.
Sure.
That her mom would come back.
That her mom would come back, yes. Any other prayer requests or praise items? Okay, sorry, just a little louder.
Sharon had to take George.
Okay. Okay, Sharon had to take George into the hospital. Anything else? Let's spend some time in prayer. Somebody want to pray for Frank's daughter, Rachel? Sure. Thank you, Lloyd. Somebody want to pray for Marlon and Helena Wall from the Martinsville congregation? Frank, thank you. And for the young girl here, Riley, for her mom, somebody want to pray for her? Thanks, Henry. And for George and Sharon, somebody want to pray for George? Sure. Thanks, Jeff. Anybody else wants to pray, then let's spend some time in prayer, and then I will close when it's quiet.
Life
Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight, Father. And Father, as we looked at your word again, Father, we just see the awesome and mighty God that you are and that you are not bound by anything. Father, we just thank you for your love. Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. And as we see through these plagues that you have brought them, Lord, that your glory, your power would be declared throughout the whole earth. And Father, I thank you for that. And Lord, there's also an opportunity for us to check our own hearts, Father, that we would not harden ourselves. Father, I pray that we would repent and forsake sin, Father, and that we would come clean before you, and that our desire would be to walk in your commands and to be obedient to you. Father, thank you for your love, and thank you for Jesus Christ, who's the author and finisher of our faith. Father, I pray that you would be with each one here tonight, Father, that you know every heart and you know every burden that people have and that people are carrying, Father, and I just pray that you would meet their needs, Father, and that our faith would be strengthened, Father, and that we'd be drawn near to you. Lord, thank you for each one who's come out, and may you have spoken to each one, and may we in turn just praise you for the awesome God that you are. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all for coming. It is truly a privilege to read and to study God's word and as we've been going through the plagues, and I invite you all next week. I believe it is our last one. Just trying to find my closing verse here. I'll dismiss you with the benediction found in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Let's bow our heads. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Thank you for coming, and may God's peace and protection go with each one of you. You're dismissed.